Hall of Famer Deacon Jones, and we're talking sports with Randy Harris.
And we're back. This is Knockout Radio, the happiest place on earth, Media Row, not Disney, but yet Randy has found a way to be upset. What's going on, Randy?
I don't even know what to do.
What happened?
Honestly, you know, so I'm freaking out. You know, the stress of this show.
Did you leave your credential in a chair?
It's worse.
Well, it's still there. You got it. It's right there.
Where is it?
It's hanging on your neck.
Okay. No, it's worse than that. Okay, so the stress of the show, the stress of guests coming on time, the stress of them not showing up, watching over all you knuckleheads, all this stress, right?
Yeah.
So you just saw how frantic I just got.
I did.
Okay, and I'm looking around frantically.
You did. What happened?
I couldn't find the headset that was on my head.
Oh.
It nice. Was on my head. I'm listening to the commercial.
My heart just stopped because we just had Austin's Super Bowl ring passed around. I thought you lost his Super Bowl ring. I thought we were in real trouble. But did you see the maturity?
Yeah.
I did not put it on out of respect. I asked to see it just to see, but he handed it. I didn't slide it on my finger. Dexter Jackson, I did do that. As soon as he handed me the MVP Super Bowl ring at the Taste of the NFL, I slid it right on my big finger and took a photo. But now I'm a seasoned professional medial journalist.
Medial? You're medial?
I don't know words yet.
Yeah.
But I'm learning on professionalism, and I'm growing up. Before your very eyes, Randy.
I think that's kind of
I'm like
it.
The stepson you never wanted.
You're like the friend that you're not.
What are you talking about? We're great friends.
Are we?
I think so. I mean, I've never slept in your house like Steve, but...
You've never been in the house Steve, have you?
I've been in the house.
Were you invited?
I don't remember being invited necessarily, but, you know, I'm in the circle of trust. It feels good in the circle.
No.
Not as good as that weight vest, though.
It was cool.
You know, sometimes you just discover things through this job and through meeting people and you know, trade shows. You experience things that other people don't get to yet, and like, it's so cool, man. I feel so blessed that I had that experience, because now I know something I didn't know before, and I can apply it to what I already do and what I already believe.
Could have swore Austin was supposed to come later. So this works. We may be able to sneak out.
Yeah, where are we going?
I'm going to dinner.
This is the happiest place on earth. Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, the happiest place on earth.
The meatball. You can get the meatball.
I'm going to get whatever Brian.
Can we revisit the old subject of like starting our own Hall of Fame? I mean, you're the buffet king. You know, I think we need an international, like, you know, buffet Hall of Fame. And you can be the president. You're in charge of the Hall of Fame. You get to decide who's in. I mean, maybe somebody has one good dish, but the overall meal is not great. They don't get included. You know, like maybe their mashed potatoes are the best you've ever had. Like the fight wing, right? A fight can be amazing, but not legendary and a Hall of Famer. So maybe one chef has a dish that you love, but the rest of the menu you hate. We can start this, Randy, you and I.
Oh, I got an email from somebody, and I really didn't know if I should even open it. It's from Buffalo Food Slut.
That's does
I know.
Stickers.
I know. Yeah. I know.
So yes.
I'm like, what? I can't. Oh, it's the lady who was just here. Let me accept. Okay.
Yeah, you are a foodie. I think the Hall of Fame. I think the world needs to know. You know, because everybody's a critic. Everybody with a Yelp account or a Facebook account or Instagram. Everybody's a critic now. Everybody does reviews. I mean, Portnoy made it popular to rate food based on one bite and then describe it and rate it with a system. But, you know, nobody's done a Hall of Fame for food. There's no Hall of Fame for everything, Randy.
I know.
Like, everything has a Hall of Fame for, like, the best of the best. The hospitality, such a big industry, and we have no Hall of Fame.
It's the Hall of Pretty Good.
You've been to some amazing restaurants. I recall Wyoming. You said that was the greatest steak you've ever had in your life. When you went, I believe, to BKFC 1, is that correct? Then you have a steakhouse?
Yes, yes.
I mean, you've got some legendary dinners at different places around the world. You could really put together a global Hall of Fame. And if people travel, they must go there because Randy said it's the best of the best.
We went to, when I say we, I mean me. I went to a UFC in Japan, and the UFC took all the media out except for one media person. And so the next day, a media person from Toronto said, Randy, why didn't you go with us last night? It was amazing. I go where? So I guess they neglected to invite me.
Oh, what?
So they felt so bad, whatever, whatever. So they went out the next night and only took me. So we went to one of those Japanese steakhouse.
Okay.
And the first thing they said is, we don't do that stuff that they do in America for show.
Oh, they don't flip the, nope. the shrimp tail in the hat?
They don't light the onion on fire.
What?
They don't
no volcano?
No volcano. No rolling egg.
Ugh.
None of that. They said, that's all you people. We don't do that.
Oh, really?
And I'm thinking, is that good for you to say you people?
Yeah,
Really? I mean, I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
you people, guys.
Sure.
You know, lady. Hey, lady. Yeah. So that was a good meal.
So though. I can't go back in time and recreate that group dinner with the media in Japan. But I did see Rampage Jackson here earlier, and he was on that fight card when you were in Japan.
That is correct.
I have the poster in my garage.
That is correct, but we may not want to bring that up.
Why?
Well, he was not victorious.
Well, but still, it's still an iconic poster.
It is iconic.
It's in Japanese. It's got Ryan Bader, a friend of the show, eight-man strong athlete, the double champion.
Eight-man strong sponsored athlete.
Sponsored athlete. Yeah. You know, Rampage had Frankie Edgar, who shouts out your daughter and wishes her well in her upcoming wedding. He took on Benson Henderson, who just fought in the karate combat. So that's, for me, that's the golden era of the UFC, of combat sport. You know, it was during that era, I think, is when I really caught the love and the passion for what it is.
Coming up momentarily, right around the first break, and I don't know, you know, if Austin will come back, because when they'll come back, you know, Clarissa will be on.
It's hard. There's so many people to talk to. And
I just wanted to invite him to a few things. You know, and I mentioned it off air, you know, the fishing at Walt Disney World, the fishing in Tampa Bay. He said he was a golfer. So I thought it would only be right that if he could get to Tampa, St. Pete, or we'll send Tiger up to him, Steve Monroe.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he may enjoy playing a round or six, with him.
Yeah, I mean, and that's great because like, when Emmitt Smith walks by, and you know, I know Steve got, you know, stiffed arm today. He's got more of a bruise emotionally than the leg kick that Chuck dished out last week. But, you know, that's what makes you so great at what you do is you get guys that aren't necessarily the household name that everybody already knows, or everybody already follows. You take the time to get to know the athletes like Austin and Alex, and you build real relationships, and you send them on these amazing fishing excursions. And that's what makes this so great, man. You really treat everyone equally.
Well, everybody is equal.
But in a world where things are not equal, favoritism's all over the place, and you know, depending on who's got money behind who and who sponsors what, a lot of people get favoritism. And the fact that you give everybody the equal platform, it's nice, man. It's refreshing. And I'm excited to get to know Austin more personally than after this.
Are you going to now charge me more than the $5 you agreed on to say all that?
Well, I mean, I'm going to pay you not with currency, but make digital, you know, like before, like I felt dirty the other night, and I talked about it because we went to an event, upscale, classy, and the bartender, I wasn't drinking, but it was water, distilled water on one side, sparkling water on the other, and even though I got 3 cups of water, I didn't know if I should tip, and I wanted to put some money out, but no one else did. There was no jar, there was no tip thing, there was no gratuity sign, and I felt dirty pulling out money where I was like, you know what, maybe I should do digital, send them a Cash App or a Venmo, because in the future, money's dirty, is in someone's pocket, they touched it, where I think in the future it's going to change where everything will be digital.
Probably.
Like all of it.
You know, I want a Fred Flintstone car, or I want a Jetson, a Jetson car.
They're here.
There's flying cars.
Yes, there is. I just saw one.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
It's got four. It's like these posts here. It's 4 corners of the car, and it lifts it up like a drone, and it's a flying car. You probably saw it at CES. I think they released it there.
It could be. I don't remember.
But digital, I mean, so we'll get to that point where money feels dirty. That was the first time I've experienced it, and it was here in Vegas. And mark my words, in the future, no one was going to have cash because it's just like, oh, that's sad.
Let's go hit a break so we can be prepared for whoever comes next. or whoever doesn't show who's scheduled next, or somebody who isn't scheduled and is going to show up next. It is the fiasco that is Radio Row, which is almost coming to an end for us. It's right around the corner, but what's right around the corner-ish is this break. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and BioAccelerant.
Can I borrow a dollar? I want to go get a drink.
Hey, this is James Brown from Sporting News Radio, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
Conveniently located in Pinellas Park, Cool Breeze AC is just one phone call away. Reach them at 727-954-3605. And their highly skilled and knowledgeable technicians will be at your service 24/7, ensuring your ultimate comfort all year round.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Lomas Brown, and you're talking sports with Randy, the Monster Jam Man.
We're back. This is Knockout Radio coming to you live from Media Row, Super Bowl 58, Las Vegas, star-studded. The who's who of all industries are here represented at Media Row. It's amazing to see the inclusion, and everybody's coming together, obviously, for a football game. I guess we should get to that, Randy.
Is there a game?
San Francisco 49ers, Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, who do you have? Are you picking a side?
Normally, I don't pick. Normally, I don't care, and I don't care. I have no care in either one of these teams. I barely care on the Buccaneers. I mean, I want them to win, but I'm not going to lose sleep.
Right.
San Francisco 49ers, the general manager, Hall of Fame, Tampa Bay Buccaneer, John Lynch, the Kansas City Chiefs, Donovan Smith, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, you know, rooting for them both to win. They both can't win. So I'm going to go this is who I want to win.
Okay.
I want the Kansas City Chiefs to win.
Okay.
Two reasons. Donovan Smith, and to piss off all of you Taylor Swift haters. That's what I'm going with.
Okay. All right.
And you? Do you care?
You know, I think it's amazing to see greatness, and I love the dynasty runs. I love it when, you know, the Patriots were so dominant for a decade and, you know, going back to the Cowboys when they were dominant. And I like to see and be here for the Patrick Mahomes era. And we'll see how the later part of his career ends up. But to be here right now at this moment is so special. And as a fan, as a as a media journalist, as the general public, to witness something so remarkable, it's an honor. You know, and not all every time in history people get the chance to be there for that certain period of time when something happened. And I feel like this is in sports history. This is like, you know, another great run. And
no, for sure.
So I want to see Mahomes continue that run. I mean, Caleb Bentnot, a good friend of ours, you know, co-host of the show at times, you know, claims that after playing in the NFL for nearly 10 years, that he is the best he's ever been on the field with or seen play the game. So for people on the inside to have those sentiments, I think carries weight more so than just like the fans.
No, for sure. 100%. And, you know, you look at Jim Kelly went to four consecutive Super Bowls and lost all four, and many consider him a loser. You know, they don't include him in the best talk. I mean, the guy went to four straight Super Bowls.
Which goes back to, do you have to have a championship ring to be a Hall of Famer?
Well, obviously not, because Jim Kelly is in the Hall of Fame. No, you shouldn't. But I'm just saying that that he's not looked at as one of the greats, because he didn't. And here is a very similar run by the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Mahomes and Mahomes, who both are unbelievable together, but Mahomes is discussed as one of the GOATs, could be the GOAT, could be.
Well, because he has the hardware. He has the rings.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm saying. But if he would have lost those two Super Bowls, then here he did the same thing as Jim Kelly, would we still be calling him arguably one of the greats because of his, you know, on-field, his athleticism, all that kind of stuff?
Well, I think if you go back to John Elway in the Denver Broncos, you know, Elway had that same kind of legacy. Right. He was, could get close. He could get to the big dance. He couldn't win the game. They brought in Terrell Davis and changed the whole dynamic of that offense. You know, he was able to win back-to-back and go out on top. And in life, you don't
and fly a helicopter on a football field.
But you always don't get...
You know what I'm talking about, right?
No.
Yeah, John Elway flew a helicopter on a football field. It's when he scored a touchdown and he got hit. He spun around like a helicopter.
But that play, right? You talked about how one hold can like set your whole memory of what people remember. You lose your cool and you spit on a player, and that's all you're remembered for, right? That same helicopter spin and the back-to-back championships and walking out on top, right? I think a lot. That's the art. That's the finesse of leaving at the right time. Right, whether it's a social engagement, it's a bar, a party, an event, it's the timing of when you leave is crucial to what people remember. And John Elway left at the right time, the perfect time, on top. Are you leaving right now? Are you done? Do I finally get to put my name in the banner? You're talking sports with Randy Harris and, or this is Knockout Radio with Randy and Matt. Well, what are we going to call the show?
You said about a walkway, so I was going to walk away.
But that's it. I mean,
no, for sure.
So, you know, I think Mahomes is that special. I think he's going to put together that next big run.
But what happens if the 49ers win this game and Purdy gets the Super Bowl ring, gets the Niners over the top after what happened 2 years ago? You know, now you've got to start looking at maybe him not the GOAT, but him as legendary story. This is a movie. So, this is a movie being made if they win.
So I agree with that. But if you took the two quarterbacks and isolate them, is Mahomes on a better team or is Purdy on a better team with surrounding cast? You know, it's so like
Purdy's on a better team.
Like different, right? So different.
The 49ers, are, I believe, are a better team. Yeah.
So the
49ers have the offensive player of the year in Christian McCaffrey.
Sure.
Okay, so they are the better team.
Yeah.
Mahomes is the better quarterback.
I think. See, I agree with that.
Oh yeah.
But if Purdy wins this game under this pressure, and for the world to see at such a young age, we may see. You know, it's not for long. Your records, the GOATs, the
every record is made to be broken.
Didn't Travis Kelce just break Jerry Rice's playoff record for most consecutive or most touchdowns?
I don't know, but I also believe that they broke the touchdown, you know, record that they took from Brady and Gronk.
Well, and there's more games first season, so that makes more opportunities to add stats, to have more attempts. Guys are playing longer, like the longevity, the recovery, the taking care of the body. So you're going to see guys into their 40s, you know, maybe even older. I mean, who knows? You know, what Randy Couture said on Tuesday, that 30 is now the new 40, right? So we gained back 10 years of playing at the highest level because of conditioning and exercise science and recovery methods. So who knows what the future holds? All these records are going to fall in time.
You would think. Look at that bucked up energy drink shirt.
Oh, yeah.
That's a kick-ass shirt right there. Young man's walking by wearing it.
And you know what?
Good stuff.
But going back to that event we went to the other night, the rock and roll, the music event.
The most important thing about that is that I won in the pickleball tournament.
You did. But the guy that I was with is a great guy. And, you know, he introduced me to a side of the music industry I didn't know. And he knew the promoters. He knew all the people. And it was just like I got to know. I have a personal relationship with a different industry.
Yeah.
And now I'm a fan. Like, I'm excited about concerts. I'm excited about going to learn more.
Isn't this the exact same thing I've been talking about for 6 months now? It's the exact same thing. I didn't realize. I didn't realize about words and lyrics and, you know, you hear the guitar licks and all that kind of stuff, and you don't think about it. You don't really think about the words, honestly. You know, I can't tell you a song that I can think of the words. I know the words, but that I know the words, that I understand the words before Gone Too Soon by Daughtry. You know, I've never listened. I can sing them, word for word, whatever. I have no idea what I just sang. You know, because you just get it burned in your memory what the song is.
Yeah.
And I know that I've told the story. We went up to Jacksonville, and Steve took us to some of the Leonard Skinner, I don't want to say highlights because we went to the gravesite and all that stuff as well, but we went to the bar. I forget the name. What's the name of the bar in Jacksonville? Hey, you, the name of the bar in Jacksonville.
Something Time, right?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Something Time.
All right. Well, we talked about the pastime and it being so important. Yeah. But
The pastime, and that's where the song Give Me Three Steps. There's an X on the floor, and they're telling me the story, and that they said that there's a little piece of paper in the cash register of where Van Zandt wrote that stuff. And I'm like, wait a second, what do you mean he wrote? Huh, what? They're like, yeah, he stood right there when somebody pulled a gun on him.
See, so that brings up a valid point, okay? So going back to, music was reflective of people's stories of their life, and that's what made people really love it. But like in the rap industry, the reason that rap isn't, in my opinion, as great as it was back in the 80s and 90s was because now, because the money and the influence, they're making these studio rappers tell a story that's not really theirs. They're embellishing it. And I think that rock and roll is still pure to that, where it's more about the emotion and the feeling and real life. Country does it to maybe the best level of all.
Let's hit this bottom of the hour break a minute or two early so we will be prepared when Kalissa Shields comes here. Two-time Olympic gold medalist.
Wow.
Fights for the PFL. It's record-breaking. It'll be in Saudi Arabia, a women's fight. We're going to talk to her when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Bucked Up Energy Drink, Bio Accelerator, and Statsa.
With Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
BioAccelerator is recognized as a global leader in cell therapy and regenerative medicine for sports and orthopedic injuries, spine and disc conditions, and chronic pain. The company has treated thousands of patients, including many UFC champions, former and current NFL players, and many everyday people like you and I.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
Banners, car wraps, and printing. Oh my. Banners, car wraps, and printing. Oh my. For all of your banners, car wraps, and printing, call Compass Banners, Printing and Wraps at 727-522-7414 for all your signage and promotional needs. Every sign tells a story. Every wrap makes a statement. Find us on Facebook. Visit our website at compassbanners.com or call 727-522-7414. Banners, car wraps, and printing. Oh my. Roasted Whisk Gift Box Company is an online specialty gift box company specializing in corporate gifting, creating a fun and unique gifting experience for your clients, vendors, or employees. Gift boxes could include specialty coffees or teas, mugs, espresso-infused baked goods, scented candles, and many more options. Check us out at roastedwhisk.com. Roasted Whisk on all social platforms.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
John Elway, and you're listening to Talkin' Sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back into live final two segments here on Radio Row. It's been a lot of fun. Probably the worst thing of Radio Row is you set schedules and a lot of people don't come on time. They come early. They come late. Sometimes they don't come at all. It makes it very stressful. And then you have to make that decision, Matt, and it happened yesterday. Rick Harrison was waiting to come on the show and stood there. Let's be honest. He stood there longer than he could have, should have, had to, would have, the whole nine yards.
No question.
And if I ever see him again, I'm going to thank him, you know, for staying as long as he did. You know, but I had a scheduled guest. I'm going to start becoming like everybody else. You're here, sit.
Okay. But see, that's the way it's supposed to be. Like, well, at least in an environment like this.
Well, no, it's not supposed to be. What it's supposed to be is if you have a schedule, you come to the schedule. But the problem is, here's the problem. You know, our previous guest, Austin Corbett, was willing to stay, yet he had another interview.
Sure.
You know, and I didn't mean to, you know, I didn't know he had another one. You know, I wanted to invite him to the golf. I wanted to invite him to the fishing and such.
But you're more of a rigid scheduler. You're a rigid, like, scheduled guy, right? So, but, you know, I'm more of a spontaneous guy. What's the most spontaneous thing you've ever done in your life? Like, do you have a memory of doing something so, like, just off the wall, you weren't expecting, you?
I don't, but there is a story, you know, for my son. So my son didn't take the opportunity. So Sean flew to Cleveland when the I think it was the Clippers. Yeah, the Golden State Warriors. You know, they were gonna beat Cleveland. They were gonna beat LeBron. So Sean went up to see his high school buddy and very good friend Maurice Bates, and they lost, which meant they had another game. Now they're gonna fly back, you know, to Oakland, whatever. So Spates says to Sean, hey, do you want to fly on the plane with the team to California?
Wow. Oh, what an
now,
experience.
A, Sean has to go to work.
Right.
A, he works for my brother, his
right,
uncle,
right.
His godfather.
Our,
blah, blah, blah.
Our title sponsor.
Yes. And two, he's like, well, then what do I do once I get there? I don't do things on a whim. He doesn't do things on a whim. I might have got on the plane.
Wow.
I might have.
Okay.
Now, I think it's a better chance I would have gotten on the plane had they won, you know, because it's going to be Debbie Downer, you know, it's not going to be the best, you know, all that kind of stuff. But they lost. So, you know, do you still, do you not still, you know, I don't know. But I don't do, I don't know. I don't know what, I guess the most spontaneous thing is just, when I joined the military. I don't know.
You just like structure. I mean, you're a structure
guy.
Like, see, like, I remember being young, like, my buddies would come to the house on Friday after work. We would drive, get to an intersection, flip a coin left or right, bounce around a bunch of, like, a country bars, side of the road, highway kind of dives. We would just pop in, have a couple drinks, and keep it moving, and then we would eventually pop out on a major highway. St. Louis, 182 miles. I'm making that up. I don't know. Cincinnati, 250 miles. Flip a coin. Boom. Then we would drive to that city, park, get a cheap hotel room before five, six of us, share the rent, share the room for the night, and just go out clubbing and partying and exploring different cities. And we had no clue where we would end up until we were actually there. And have you ever considered doing anything like that? Would you do that with me here tonight in Vegas? We flip a coin at each intersection, and we just end up at a random place.
No.
And we'll document the whole journey.
Well, the plan is no. The plan is I'm going to go to Brian's restaurant tonight.
Okay.
And have a dinner.
So
that
after that, you'll be nice and full. You'll be feeling fresh. You'll feel free and clear. What do you think? Got to live a little, Randy.
No, probably not. Probably not.
But you know, that's what life is, though. Life is about opportunity and timing and just random, you know, encounters and things. I mean, everything's so critical in timing. You turn one way and someone walks past you, and it could have been who you interview next or who you could build a relationship with or know. It's pretty cool. Like, I'd like to see more spontaneous.
Because
I'm not really a structure guy. Like, I don't have a schedule. Everybody, like, tells me, like, oh, you don't have a calendar. I don't use Google. So, you know, it's just kind of whatever.
Oh, okay.
But I do have a wardrobe malfunction today, Randy. First, it was my shoes. You know, these red shoes that I got them actually. Remember, before the jiu-jitsu tournament that I was the MC of, Jits Kings, and I wanted something to match my bow tie, so I got some red shoes, and that really became like an iconic look for me. I opened up many doors, going to events and dressing with the red shoes, and even though you think they're clown shoes. But my belt, my mission belt, which I love, you love, we love.
I'm wearing it.
But there's a problem. You know what the problem is?
Yeah, I'm wearing mine.
Well, it's user problems. Like, so I trimmed my own belt, and I didn't attach it back all the way secure. So as I go to the restroom on break, it falls off and into a puddle of urine. So now I washed it, but I have no belt on. I've got one shoe.
Can you do me one favor as you continue to tell the story? Get that freaking thing off of my table, off of my banner.
I cleaned it.
What is wrong with you?
I washed it.
You're disgusting.
No, I washed it. But, like, you know, I'm falling apart out here. People don't realize the grind. Like, it's grueling.
Yeah, it's the grind.
Like, when you finish, like, you know, a journey, like maybe like a service in the military. Like, I feel like that. I feel like I'm battle tested now. My outfit's been tattered and torn. I mean, put it all on the field, Randy. Isn't that what you want out of your star players? Like on Sunday, don't you want every player to give their absolute 100%? I mean, we talked about the NBA, about the big disparity between college, the passion, the love. In my opinion, the greatest NCAA men's basketball event is the March Madness, period. Don't you want that kind of passion in the pro levels, especially the Super Bowl? Like, everyone just all out, max effort.
It would be nice to have effort. It would be good to have teammates.
What if they give 110%? You know? There's it.
Right here. Hey.
Yeah, come on in.
Over here.
Come on in.
Over here.
Yeah, that's you.
We're gonna blow through this break. That's what we're gonna do.
Brother. Okay, welcome. Wow, this is special. This is cool. Yeah, grab a headset. There you go. So we have a new guest in the studio.
Well, it was planned.
We knew it was structured.
No, it was planned.
It was planned. Because I was trying to find a place to sit down. Because they've been walking me around here all day.
We were talking to Quentin Rampage Jackson, and I don't want you to think I'm lying. I'm telling you it was planned, okay. Because I'm the one that got you the credential to get in here.
Okay. I was going to say, you bigger cap than this one.
I don't know if you remember. I've been in your house.
You've been in my house?
I've been in your house. Legally.
Okay.
You invited me into your house.
When?
Many years ago in L.A. to help you sell some items on eBay.
Are you serious?
No, I can tell you exactly.
A house in L.A.?
The house in L.A.
I never lived in L.A.
You told me to go in the garage and get a box.
What kind of box?
It was a box. It had some headgear, some pride stuff.
Who are you with?
You were laying on the couch.
Who are you with?
I knocked on the door.
Who are you with?
I was with myself.
In L.A.? I don't live in L.A.
Anaheim, okay, you know, okay. Again, I'm from Florida. You know,
how many years ago was this?
10. I think Greg was still with the UFC. You know, so I know Greg very well, Greg Hendrick.
And I told you to go to my garage?
You said to go in your garage. You told me then to get on your computer and type in what UFC event a pair of shorts was. The only problem was it was a Pride event, not a UFC event. I'm telling you, I've been in your house.
Wow. But he could be telling the truth.
Oh, no.
My 10 years of my memory is kind of bad, but I was just laying on the couch and I let you do all this, and I ain't never met you before this?
That's true. Now, you know of me. I own Knockout Radio. I've covered the UFC longer than anybody.
I've seen you before. Yeah.
And it's got to be longer than that because my daughter is 11, and Randy and I met right before I moved to Brazil. So it's probably, I don't know this story.
It could be longer.
So it has to have been longer than 10 years.
I mean, I can figure it out because I can figure out how many events were in Anaheim because it was a UFC, Anaheim.
What did the house look like? Did they have a swimming pool?
I don't remember. I don't remember. But you knew I was coming. I kept, you know, texting you.
Oh, okay.
And it took like hours because we must have been in Anaheim. The UFC must have been in Anaheim.
Okay.
And then I had to drive about 4.5 days to get to your house.
You bought some memorabilia?
No, because we were going to sell it. But the problem was, and I think I still have it, you signed UFC on your shorts. And when I put it up, we were doing stuff for Ryan Bennett, who was the owner of MMA Weekly. Mm. And then you signed it, UFC whatever, and I put it up. And then I became a crook because they said it was a Pride pair of shorts. You know, because we were trying to attach from pictures and stuff.
Yeah, see, you know what the bad thing about me is that...
I'm just glad you believe me because you're looking at me like you're going to kick my ass.
Yeah, because that sounds like I'd be lazy. If I was down the couch, I'm tired. I was lazy. I'm like, all right, go ahead and do this yourself.
I do got to be honest with you. Truly, Quentin, that shocked me. I'm like, you're like, yeah, just go in the garage. There's a box right by, I'm going to make this up, the refrigerator or the bicycle or something. And I bring the box up and we hold up one thing and I'm on the computer trying to figure it out.
Yeah, because I don't care about a lot of stuff. I'm a weirdo like that. You know, I don't care. I obviously wasn't afraid of you robbing me or kicking my ass or killing me. But like, my shorts and stuff, I don't remember which fight I did with the shorts. I'm a weirdo like that. I wish I would have kept a lot of that stuff and was more anal about, oh, this is that and that, but I never did. And I was just talking about this the other day. Somebody asked me, like, do you ever regret, not framing something. I said, you know what, man? What I regret now, when I used to fight in Pride, they used to give us trophies. It was like nice trophies, not really cheap ones. They like nice glass. They all look different. I used to give them away to like girls I meet that night. Fight and like give them away to fans and shit. I didn't want to take it back home from Japan. I'm like, man, I wish I would have kept some of them goddamn trophies.
For sure.
It's a lot of random hot Japanese girls out there that remember that one night with my trophy on her nightstand.
They got the Pride trailer on their mantle of their home.
That's awesome. Well, we do. We're very excited to have you sit here. But let's talk about BioAccelerator.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I know that you're involved with them. They're also a sponsor of the radio show. So talk about what that has done for you. What Eric and his team have done for you.
Man, Eric and BioAccelerator, they changed my life. I think they put like 10 or 15 more years on my fighting career.
Wow.
Because my body, I came into MMA with a bum knee. I got injured in college, and I went out there and I did the stem cells. I did the IV, and I got shots in both my knees, and I got a shot in my shoulder. I got a torn rotator cuff that I never told people about. I just been fighting through it and stuff like that, and I got shot in my hand because over the years I got like a little small fracture that would never heal or something. I went to go see a specialist and they put in a cast and it didn't work, right? So I got this, when I got the shot in the hand, I noticed that was the first thing that healed up a couple of days before I even left Colombia. Yeah. My hand, I didn't feel the pain in my hand.
Wow.
And my knees, it took like 3 months and my knees got better and my shoulder and everything got better. And I was like, okay, now I'm not skeptical anymore, and I really believe in it. And then after that, I called him up and said, listen, I want to I want to get sponsored by you guys because I know this stuff is really expensive. It's worth it though. It's worth every minute. But I'm like, I don't want to pay for it. I want to, you know, come back and yeah, come on. And I believe in it truly. And then they told me to tell you. I know you guys probably talk about it, about the Super Bowl giveaway.
Yeah, the giveaway. Talk about it.
Oh yeah, Eric told me that he want to help some random person in need, maybe a military vet or some other athlete or anybody that's injured, and they want you to go to BattleCelebrator.com and look at the Super Bowl giveaway and sign up and do whatever they do there, and they're going to pick some random lucky person to get free stem cell.
And then we're going to have that winner on the program. We're going to talk about that. But how important is it, and this is important, you talking about it, Diamond Dallas Page is a very good friend of mine. I made a call to him. Eric was going to bring us, or is going to bring me down to do this. You know, you can be endorsed. You can have people pay you to talk about something. But if you don't eat at that restaurant, if you don't go there, all of you athletes have gone there. You've gone through this.
Yeah.
So that says enough. It's one thing to talk about it, but it's another to go and have the process done yourself.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it 100. I'm a fighter, and my job is to entertain people and stuff like that. And you only get paid for being in the cage, but so you want to make extra money and do stuff like that. So I would be sponsored by stuff that I don't know much about, but I would never be sponsored by something that I'm against,
right?
Or don't believe in. But one thing about BioAccelerator, I never asked them for money. You know what I'm saying? Because I believe in them, and yeah, I want to get more treatment and stuff like that. But still, I'm doing the same type of thing in another company, I'm like, yeah, give me money too. I don't ask them. Like, I really believe in it. So it's not like that type of typical sponsorship, because I really do believe in it. And the fans, they know me. They know I keep it real.
Right.
I keep it 100. Like, I've been sponsored by things before in the past that, you know, I learned about them now because they sponsored me. They're like, oh, okay, yeah, this girl's not too good. But yeah, now, older, everything I rep, I'm believing in it and I'm using it and stuff like that. But BioAccelerator, I was skeptical about it before.
I mean, everybody should be.
Yeah.
You know, and you need to do the research.
I need to do the research. I went to Columbia, I did it in America. I got I paid $5,000. This girl was hitting me up on Instagram and selling, and I finally said, okay, I'm gonna go because I needed it for my knee. And I got a shot in my knee and made my knee worse.
Huh.
And that's what that type of experience made me believe in BioAccelerator even more.
Sure.
But the thing that really took me over the edge and was when my hand, the pain left my hand before I even left Columbia, after I got the shot and the IV, that was like, oh my God, yeah. Then I was like looking forward to my knee, because my knee was still sore from the shots and stuff, because they told me, you got to keep moving it. You got to keep, when you get the knee, you got to keep moving it or it's going to get stiff. And I didn't, you know, I'm a fighter, I'm tough. Anyway. And I moved it a lot, but then I fell asleep because I was still jet lag and stuff, you know, going. And I fell asleep, and then I woke up, my knee was stiff for a while. I was like, oh my God, I should have listened to him. So next time I go, what I'm going to do is I'm gonna bring one of my female friends. I'm like, hey, even when I sleep, you just got to keep moving my knee.
Well, there's machines that can do that.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's machines. When I had my ACL replaced, it does it for you. So you can fall asleep.
Why
can do it.
Why you didn't tell me this the first time?
When I was in your house, yeah, I should have told you.
Yeah, you should have been psychic.
Exactly.
You should have said, hey, in 15 years from now, keep moving your knee.
So this is going to sound crazy. Yeah, but so
you talking about... You was in my house too?
No, I wasn't there. No, I got lost.
Oh, okay.
No, I have... No, but we talk about money. I didn't want to pay for a check bag, so I just brought a backpack, you know. And I was like, you know, going out to Super Bowl for Media Week. And there's one thing that I almost consider.
You're
going
to ask Quentin to kick you as well?
No. But but I have one poster in my home gym, in my home garage, and it's of you in Japan on the UFC poster. It's
I brought framed. It back.
Wow. It's the greatest gift that I've ever gotten from Randy. It's what made the world seem so open when I saw you in Pride and like with the Japanese fighters and the passion, the way they tell the storyline of who you are as a person, not just the trash talking and the antics to sell tickets.
Yeah.
And my daughter, who's 11, born in Brazil,
wife's Brazilian. Her fantasy is Tokyo.
No, I don't. I'm checking out. I don't want to hear anything else after this. Fantasies and quitting.
He said the right thing. She's 11 years old.
She's 11.
Oh, you brought up your wife.
My daughter. And she's 11 years old. Okay. And she knows the world's possible. She knows she can live in another country. She knows she can live in a different culture, a different language than Brazil or America. And it's because you and the UFC and making it a global sport where we're at the NFL and this is the national championship, North American championship. This isn't a global league.
No.
This isn't the Olympics.
No.
But what you guys do, you truly do fight against the greatest in the world. And when you're a world title holder, a belt holder, it means that you're the greatest in that sport. So it's an honor.
Thank you,
I'm
brother.
So excited right now. I've met a ton of legendary figures this week. You by far are the one that changed the world for me and my family.
Oh man, thank you, man. I forget sometimes because I never started fighting for that. It was like I love fighting and it was a living, so I never started fighting for that. And I sometimes I forget that, you know, some people maybe look at it different than I am, but in 2007 I remember I was the best fighter on the planet because I beat Dan Henderson and he had the belt from Japan and I was the UFC champion. That was the first time, and I was like, wow, for the first time in my sport, I'm the number one champion in the weight class. And both. So that's
so going back to that. So Randy has a lot of memories of being in events, and you know, you're the one fighting, like the champions on Sunday. They're in isolation right now. They're quarantined. They're not with the media row. They're focus on what their job is. So as the athlete, you focus in the hotel or in a weight cut, and you know, what's the most memorable thing in your fighting career that you remember? Because we all remember where we were when we met you, or when Randy remembers where your house was when he stole all your stuff.
He stole all my stuff and put it on eBay.
Right. So what's the one thing you remember the most about your fighting career?
About my fighting career? The first time I fought in Japan, I remember I wasn't supposed to leave the country. Something happened in college. And as I sold my passport in the airport, going on in there, it was like airport police. Like to me, like 30 of them. Get down, stand up, damn, jump at that. So they all had like different commands. Like those guys were real bad power trippers. It was really bad. And they were pointing weapons at me. I don't know if it was rubber or, but I remember that. And it was like the scariest thing ever, because you know what I'm saying, black man don't trust a bunch of white people with guns. and then I got bailed out, and when I went to Japan, I still made it to Japan to fight. They had me all in the news. I had to go to jail because they was promoting this guy I was fighting. He was fighting like this badass. So they lowered out of the arena. It's a real talk. They lowered me and him from the ceiling in a cage, like a jail cell. They put that together in that phase because I was only like delayed by like a day or two days. They put that together and lowered us from the ceiling. It was like, I don't know how many feet. It was high in the ceiling. And I'm afraid of heights. I don't tell people that. They lowered us down. My first time fighting in Japan and the fans went, wow. That was like, I was like, what have I gotten myself into?
Well, I can get you in something else. So you just said that you're afraid of heights. Are you afraid of airplanes?
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I hate flying, but I do it.
Are you afraid of really fast airplanes?
Yes. I don't know. I see what you're... Now I'm looking at your head. You ain't gonna never get me in one of those.
You don't want to get one with the Thunderbirds and go mock whatever?
No. I'm happy.
I'm trying to make it, you know, make it up. I'm trying to give you something good.
That'd be doing the opposite.
That'd be worse.
So I would be happy to take a picture of you flying by. I ain't getting in there. Shut up, sucker. I ain't getting no pain, fool.
I asked some guys. I asked Otto Graham. I don't know if you know who that was. He played in the 40s, so I wouldn't expect you to.
Right. I wasn't even born in the 40s.
I wasn't either. I'm not that old.
Cap.
You know, and I asked him, could you imagine playing today? You know, now again, he was retired. He was the highest paid player in the NFL.
In the 40s?
In the 40s.
What did he make, like $50, $50 a game?
$40,000 a year. You believe that? Highest paid player.
That was back in there. That's a lot of money.
And that's what he said. That's what he said. So I want to ask you, could you imagine fighting, you know, in your 20s, in your 25, 30 today, you know, with everything that MMA has gone, everything UFC.
What's your question? What's your question? If I was in my prime, with the paydays from MMA today?
Right. Compared to the paydays back then.
Oh, my
God. And I'm not asking money, you know, the exact numbers.
Yeah. Oh, bro, oh, my God. Like, that's why I am so jealous of Conor McGregor.
Right.
Because he's doing everything that I wanted to do. He first wanted to box. I asked to box back then and stuff, but it was not the right timing for me. There was nobody for me to box because I was 205. That's pretty much almost heavyweight in boxing. Bro, he made hundreds of millions, right?
Yeah.
With the Conor McGregor's doing everything that I wanted to do. So yeah, I wish him. So this is my thing. I got a son. I got three boys, but my middle son is the one that went to fight. And he is actually a better fighter than me. His skill at the level he is now is better than I was then. He'll be a better fighter than me.
Wow.
But for some strange reason, I don't know what it is. He has like this thing where he don't want to live in my shadow. So he don't want any help from me. He don't want to take any advice from me. And he's a damn vegan. And I was like,
I can't help you anyway.
Yeah. I'm like, son, you can't be a vegan and be a fighter champion. There's no way you won't because the weight cut. The weight cut would mess you up being a vegan and trying to be a professional athlete. That's like, that's no way. So he mad at me for being honest with him about that. He don't want to listen to me. So I was going to try. I was telling myself, the money that they're making right now, I can make my son a multimillionaire because he's a lot like me. Mm-hmm. He could be very entertaining and his personality is like mine. And it'd be like Rampage 2.0 making millions right now, but he don't want it.
Here's what I was told by Kyle Petty, a NASCAR driver. You know, we were talking, the name came up. So his dad is Richard Petty, one of the greatest NASCAR drivers of all time. And he said, don't kid yourself. I got opportunities because of my last name. But if I'm not talented, it doesn't matter if I'm a Petty. It doesn't matter if I'm a Jackson. You know, you take advantage of the opportunity, and then you go your own way with your own, you know, whatever, and become who you are.
That's why I try to tell him. But I don't know if it's his teammates at the gym getting in his head or something. I don't know what it is. You know, I sat down with on my podcast with Sugar Shane Mosley and Sugar Shane Mosley Jr. His son is fighting, and his son said, "Look, it was really hard for him, but he was living his dad's shadow. He's really adamant about, no, my dad has got nothing to do with it. My dad don't train me, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, oh, man, my son probably thinks, because my son, he won't be honest with me. My son's the type of guy, he's going to tell you what he think you want to
hear. Right, yeah,
for sure. You ask him a question, like, why you do this? He won't be straight up from the heart, like, oh, well, I did. Like, he's going to tell you what he think the best answer is. And you can't pull the honesty out of him.
So there's a former UFC fighter, James Wilkes, Ultimate Fighter, I think, number 9, I want to say. But he has a documentary about the original gladiators and how they are vegetarians. They have better circulatory systems. They have better bone density. They did analyzation from archives, and they found out that they could absorb more damage and give out more damage, like punches with an impact. So your son is a vegan. Like, he may be on something. Like, the future athletes are starting to become vegetarian, if not vegan, to perform at the highest levels.
Well, I think that where it's really messing him up was when he got to cut weight. So I don't know if those guys had to cut weight back then, but I think he was doing fine when he was fighting amateur at 170. But then when he went pro, he wanted to go down to 155, and the weight cut is what affected him more, because when you cut weight, like, you're killing yourself, and you get and he had to cut a lot. He wouldn't listen to me about getting his weight down. He had to lose a lot of weight, and you dumping a lot of, you know, vitamins, nutrition, stuff that you need out of your body. You sweating it out and all this stuff. You need to replenish all this stuff. And I'm no scientist, and I'm no dietitian, nothing like that. But I think if he wasn't cutting a whole lot of weight, I don't think it would.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but Randy has a weight cut coming up.
I do. Well, not coming up anytime soon. My next weight cut will be my cremation. Look at his look.
His cremation.
You got to laugh about it, right?
So not funny. Next time he cuts calories.
That's the next time I'm going to do a weight cut.
when you cremate yourself.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to cremate myself.
No.
The next time he intends on losing weight.
Yeah, you sounded like you about to off yourself.
No.
Is everything okay?
Everything's fine. Everything is fine.
You married?
Yeah, I'm married.
I now understand why he wanted to cremate him.
No, I'll tell you this before we go to the break. Randy's been married 40 years, 46?
Over 40 years. Asked her to marry me 2 weeks after we met.
It's amazing in today's world.
I married up.
So, I don't know what type of show I'm. So you met 2 weeks, and you hadn't known her yet, right?
No, I hadn't met her. I met her. We're almost out of time. I'll tell you off the air. But go ahead. We have a minute or so. So what question?
You hadn't known her in the biblical way yet.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well,
no.
But a legendary career, a loyal guy, and his wife delayed her knee surgery, double knee surgery. So Randy could come out here this week and do his career. That's how important these engagements are. And so for the history without, you see it all the time. A strong woman. My wife is my support. Randy has the same. Priscilla.
You guys are very lucky. You guys are very lucky men because the women of our generation, my sons, they're not the same in America. I love everybody, but you guys are lucky.
I tell people, not counting my mom, the greatest woman I've ever met. And everybody says, your wife, right? My wife is not the greatest woman I ever met, not counting my mom. You know who the greatest woman I've ever met, not counting my mom?
Hmm.
My mother-in-law. Really? My wife is who she is because of my mother-in-law.
For sure.
Wow. Definitely, the best people I know. 100. Quentin, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it, sir. We are out of time. BioAccelerator has really helped us at the entire show. We're going to get the winner of the giveaway. I'm going to go talk to Eric right now, and then I'm going to explain how I got into Quentin's house and how he allowed me into his house. He still doesn't remember.
I don't remember, man.
We are done broadcasting from Radio Row. We'll see you next year in New Orleans. We'll be back on the air on Monday. See everybody.
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain you drive into.
Hi, I'm Martin Gramatico, talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all
options. WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News.